Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
First round of the NBA postseason comes your way on Saturday. But before we get to the first round, we've got to finish the play-in story. And that can't be done until four teams get one more shot at trying to make a postseason. Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. Amber Wilson, Ian Fitzsimmons hanging out with you. You can find him at Ian Fitz ESPN. You can find me as well at Amber W Sports. So let's look ahead to those second play-in games, Ian, where we have the Bulls and the Heat in action tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern, followed by the Kings and the Pelicans at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. You can hear Bulls and Heat right here on ESPN Radio. And my Heat will be, as we know, without Jimmy Butler. You've been high on the job that Billy Donovan has done down the stretch with this Bulls team and what he did against the Hawks in their first play-in game. You feel pretty confident that even though Chicago's on the road here, that they're going to be able to wreak havoc on a Jimmy Butler-less Heat team.
I didn't say that now. I said that coming into last night against the Hawks, I'm beyond impressed with Billy Donovan and what he's been able to do. I mean, keeping that team together with spit and glue, especially after an awful start. I mean, I think he's done an outstanding job.
It's not a deep team. He looks down that bench. But, he ain't got much to work with. Miami, and somehow he's making it work.
But when it comes to tomorrow night, I mean, Miami is a 1.5-point favorite. Without Jimmy Butler.
But 1.5, that's like a home bump. That ain't much.
I don't care. Because America's hammering the Bulls on what they did, you know, against the Hawks. And now you have no Jimmy Butler. The perception is, well, oh, look what the Bulls did. And, you know, Miami doesn't have Jimmy B. Look, I lean Heat in this game. And then you're going to get your ass whipped, your Heat against, you know, coming up next against the Seas. But
all right, we're not looking that far ahead. But live in the moment. To talk about that.
I am a contrarian, right? So I go against America, and America's right now is hammering the Bulls on the ESPN bet. I lean Heat. I mean, and it feels like Vegas, again, it's one of those games that they're not necessarily begging you to take the Bulls because that's a team with a losing record throughout the entire regular season. But man, I respect the hell out of what Billy Donovan has been able to do, especially in the last month and a half of the season. But the way that the money's coming in right now, the tickets coming in right now versus the money, I'm not going to play it. It's like last night, I didn't play either game, but I'm going to kick back and watch it. But if I had to play it right now, I'd buy the hook and I'd take the Miami Heat -1.
Wow, look at you giving us.
Why does that surprise you?
I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know if I want your support or not. I don't know.
I'm 64-33-2 against the number. So I mean, I'm very picky actually when it comes to placing bets, and I'm not going bet to your hands bleed on this at all. But in bet to your hands bleed, I'm 64-33-2 against the number. So you know, maybe by tomorrow night I might hammer down on the Heat, but if I had to play this game right now, I would go against America, and I'd go with Vegas, and I'd take the Heat.
You like going against America, though, when they lean one way. I understand why America is going that direction based on what they saw the Bulls do to the Hawks, and most people think Billy Donovan's a good coach. I'm not going to argue with you there. And then, of course, with this Heat team without Jimmy Butler, a team that allowed the 76ers to come all the way back from a 14-point deficit, and they looked like a different team once Jimmy got hurt and they couldn't get that momentum back because they were, in fact, going to win that game. I mean, they were working the 76ers. They were in control. They were squarely in control before Jimmy Butler had what seems to be a sprained MCL. We don't have the official word, but he is officially out for this game against the Bulls.
He's done for weeks.
Terry Rozier, well, that's what's being expected, is that he's going to be gone for a couple weeks. So he'll be back just in time for the conference finals, okay? So it'll work out perfectly there. He'll be well-rested once we get past Boston and ready to go. But that's looking ahead, and that's getting ahead of ourselves. Let's talk about this matchup against the Bulls. So no Terry Rozier as well. And that's the component here, Ian, that bothers me, because although Scary Terry, I don't think is really the make or break it, so to speak, when you don't have Jimmy and you don't have Terry Rozier, then you don't have two of your most important scorers out there. And they're going to have to find that scoring from other places. Now, can they? Sure. They absolutely can. Tyler Hero was, I don't have his numbers in front. It was like, he was like 9 of 20 or something pretty atrocious in that game. And it was earlier in the game that he really couldn't get any of his shots to fall. Can he get things clicking in this next game? Certainly, yes. Like, can the shooter is Duncan Robinson going to be available for this next game? We didn't see him at all with the 76ers game, even though we all thought he was going to be available. There's weapons, there's young weapons there with the Heat that have been better this year than a lot of people expected them to be. It is certainly an opportunity for them to shine. Bam Adebayo will be the best player on the court at any given time against that Bulls team. And normally the team, and that's without Jimmy Butler, normally the team with the best player wins. So the Heat still have the best player even without Jimmy Butler in this matchup, in my opinion. They certainly do have enough to get past the Bulls. What I wonder is, are they going to have the will? Because we all know that the Celtics are around the corner, Ian, if they get past this Bulls team. And that's not a welcome, that's not welcome information to have if you think Jimmy Butler's not going to be available to you for that series. And I just wonder from a motivation perspective what that does, given that's not something that this Heat team has typically suffered from in the past.
I don't think that matters to a professional athlete at all. At all. They want to win. And by the way, when you win here, that's a playoff check. Keep that in mind also. So they will be motivated no matter who's on the horizon. I don't care who it is. So that one I completely just put aside. But to your point about Tyler Hero, I think he started like 3 of 13.
Yeah, it was awful.
And then got hot and ended up, I mean, he hoisted up 27 shots last night, and finished with 25 points. But when it comes to one and done, we were talking to Danny Green, a 3-time NBA champion, last night. And as he said, this is like, the NCAA tournament. When it comes to Pelicans and Kings, Bulls and Heat, man, if you get a couple guys that get hot, you just don't know. You have no – in a one and done, it's not a 7-game series. It's completely different. So with the Pelicans without Zion – with the Heat without Jimmy Butler, it is not a foregone conclusion that the Pels can't find a way to win tomorrow night. Because look, CJ McCollum was and Brandon Ingram were not good at all against the Lakers. And when Zion got hurt, that's a tie ball game with 3:13 to go. If CJ shows up the way we know he can, and Ingram shows up the way we know he can, could they beat the Kings? Hell yeah. The Kings don't have Herter, they don't have Monk. Now, I know they didn't have him against Golden State also, but still, and to Danny Green's point, in a one-game set, it is a March Madness-type game. If a couple guys get hot, man, you have no earthly idea what can happen. That's in large part. Well, I am really kind of at the moment. Now, you know me, Amber, when it comes to tomorrow night on a Friday, and we don't have a show. And I'm setting up for my daughter Rowan's senior party, and I've been grinding all day in the yard. By tip, I'm probably going to have a wager on both games when we finally get there. But at the moment, because it is a March Madness-type scenario, right now I'm staying away until I see really where America does go. But right now, they're betting Bulls, and they're betting Kings, and I'm leaning the other way in both those games.
It is, well, it's easy to do because, like you said, you're looking at the Pels without Zion, you're looking at the Heat without Jimmy, and so the automatic assumption is, oh, these teams are done. But you're right, these teams very well may not be done in a one-game sample size. Obviously, incredibly problematic after that when you start having to win
in
7 and it's
a
whole thing and the competition goes. But we're not there yet. Even with the Pelicans, I tend to agree with you. Brandon Ingram is going to get more looks in Zion Williamson's absence. Now, Ingram himself has been coming back from a bone bruise on his knee. He still doesn't look like he's fully full strength. We'll see what it looks like in a do or die must win sort of scenario, but they should have the firepower. And we've certainly seen Ingram and the Cavs have to make this team float before in Zion Williamson's absence. Zion Williamson's absence is something, unfortunately, this Pelicans team, not so much this season, but unfortunately this Pelicans team has been certainly used to that in the past. Now they've got to do it against a Kings team that you mentioned, also missing pieces. And before beating the Warriors, we're on a complete tailspin at the end of the season and certainly have a whole lot of flaws. So can the Pelicans capitalize on that, even without Zion? Absolutely. And then, of course, if they do, gets a little tougher after that. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, more NFL draft. We haven't been talking about one of the positions in the NFL draft that Ian has been screaming about from the mountaintops. We're going to want to pay attention to. That's next here on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Indians NFL Draft. Position profile. Running backs.
The draft is going to produce third to seventh round running backs, right? No first or second round running back. It could have been Jonathan Brooks in the second round out of Texas, but he tore his ACL in November 11th against TCU. So again, he gets pushed into maybe the third round.
Recently, running backs have been losing their value to NFL teams because of injury and usage concerns. This year's running back class could still bring useful yards both on the ground and through the air. Braylon Allen of Wisconsin and Kamani Vidal of Troy are two names you'll start hearing more of, along with Blake Corum of Michigan and Travion Henderson of Ohio State, to make important impacts at the next level.
We are getting you ready for the NFL Draft here on ESPN Radio, your live NFL Draft coverage. Next Thursday and Friday during the NFL Draft, 7 p.m. Eastern. The coverage starts on your radio stations and on Sirius XM Channel 80. Our very own Ian Fitzsimmons will be on all of the draft coverage.
I tell you
what,
end
of next week,
Amber, when it comes to running back, you're going to see a deep run. You and I talked about this last week, where you're going to see late second through the third round a run of 6 to 8 running backs go off the board, starting with Trey Benson out of Florida State. And then you got Bucky Irving out of Oregon. You heard Jonathan Brooks there and Kuiper talking about. There's not a first-rounder, but it's a deeper running back draft than most people think. I mean, and there are playmakers to be had starting mid-second with Trey Benson, I do believe, will be the first one off the board, and it runs pretty damn deep.
It certainly is going to be a deep run. And running backs are one of those positions that – people aren't talking about as you go into the draft like they should be, because you know they're not going – we don't have a Bijan Robinson this year. They're not going
exactly
in the first round this year. So they're kind of being overlooked. But that doesn't mean it's not a deep running back draft.
Or Cody Schrader in Missouri, right? I mean, that's
right.
A dude who could be a steal for somebody in the fourth round.
So once they start going off the board, then they will start flying off the board is what Ian's saying. So certainly a position worth paying attention to. Also tight ends, a position worth paying attention to. You don't think that they're getting enough coverage. You're going to give us a full breakdown of that next week. We're going to have all of your draft coverage coming your way and tons of draft analysis. So that's another position that Ian thinks is being overlooked. No one's talking about it. And there's a lot of good tight ends in this draft. But here, I want to ask you, in a different way of talking about quarterbacks, because the thing is, we talk so much about quarterbacks.
It's nonstop.
So much. It's nonstop. But the thing that we haven't done yet is the team angle of the quarterback discussion. And I don't mean what team is choosing who. I mean what team is best for the quarterback himself.
If you're
a quarterback. Yeah, if you're a quarterback at the top of this draft, What teams do you want to go to if you could pick any? If you're Caleb Williams and it was a reverse draft and you got to pick what team you were playing for that had an actual need at the quarterback position.
Like you're being recruited?
Would you be the best?
Right? You get to pick where you're going coming out of high school, right?
That'd be so
you,
fun, wouldn't that?
That'd
be great.
Dear
like you
Lord.
Just, you know, the teams that need the eight teams that need quarterbacks are throwing into a hat. You get to decide. You're the number one overall pick. You get to decide where you're living,
you know what's
and working
crazy?
For the next 5 years.
Is that you bring up Caleb Williams. There are two teams, and I'll stay with Caleb Williams right now. There are two teams I do believe are the best, by far, bar none, made to deliver for, you know, I don't want to say instant success, but to be successful. Meaning you can bus drive this thing to the playoffs. You don't have to be a Pro Bowl quarterback as a rookie. You just come in and do your job and learn, and you have a shot to actually be very successful, which is rare. People forget Peyton Manning still holds the all-time single-season interception record that he set as a rookie with the Colts. That's how hard it is to come in when you go to a bad damn football team, right? Where Peyton Manning still holds a record for 28 INTs and then a 16-game season. So, I mean, when you're drafted number one overall, you're normally going to just a horse bleep outfit that needs so much help. Well, the Bears, you mentioned Caleb Williams, they're not the worst team in the NFL. The Carolina Panthers were. They have the number one overall because of a trade last year for the Panthers to go get the number one overall pick where they drafted Bryce Young. It's a 7-win football team. And you look at this Bears bunch, they're not bad at all. I mean, you're not going to a one-win team or a 2-win team or the Lions years ago that they didn't win a single damn game. You're going to a 7-win team where you look at what they have, a wide receiver, not one but 2,000-yard receivers and two leaders in DJ Moore on one side, and you bring in the consummate pro and Keenan Allen on the other side. The O-line ain't bad. They went and got DeAndre Swift, right, in free agency. Khalil Herbert out of Virginia Tech is a heck of a 1-2 punch. And then the defense, in the last 6 weeks of the season, were the best defense in the National Football League. So when you talk about all of that, the only setback you have as a rookie quarterback coming in is that your head coach and coaching staff are lame ducks. And that's the damn problem in Chicago. If I'm the Bears and you believe in Caleb Williams, man, sign your head coach to a 2-year extension right now and keep that staff intact.
Really?
Hell yes. Because
why?
Look,
why
because
would you
they
do that before you've seen it?
Because you've polluted every quarterback that's come in the past, they've all been lame duck coaches. Every damn
had an opportunity here with Justin Fields. It's not like he didn't have talent to work with. So if I'm
they really did. Hold on, they had talent for 1 year.
Ripped down to the studs around him.
Thank you.
I get it, but I'm talking about that quarterback position.
Look, he came in and it wasn't his crew, right? I mean, it happens every year. It's a cycle that continues. Why continue the cycle? Do something different. But they're not going to. That's what I would do. That's the only fault right now coming into Chicago for a rookie quarterback is that this roster, that's a 7-win team, not a 1 or 2-win team. They're not the worst team in the NFL. The only downside for Caleb Williams coming in is that you have a lame duck coaching staff. That is it. That's the only thing.
That coaching staff will get extended if, in fact, they're able to get anything out of Caleb Williams this year. Like, if it goes decent, and I don't mean really well, I mean if it goes decent, then Eberflus is going to get an extension.
You'd hope.
He's not going to get fired. He's only going to get fired if this is a disaster and a mess, and if it looks like it did with Bryce Young in Carolina the first year. I guess I don't understand the philosophy of paying for it before you see it. Like, it just seems unnecessary.
We saw the team
to extend him before. Like, I'm not sure what that's accomplishing.
My point is, we saw it get better. They have gotten better. So go ahead and I would have done this in January. You're not going to do it now But they should have done it in January because they didn't get better. Now, the number two team for me, or actually that was the number two.
So basically you're saying, by the way, with the Bears, you're saying if Caleb Williams, if it was a reverse draft, then Caleb Williams would still be, he'd be picking Chicago as the place that he should go if he had the opportunity to pick between the Commanders and the Patriots and these teams here that we know are also have a need.
The Bears, to me, are the number two team for any rookie quarterback. This team has to trade to get up and into striking range. And that is a team that holds the 23rd overall pick and the 11th overall pick, and that is the Minnesota Vikings. Now, the best part here is you have Sam Darnold, and I don't think that story is done yet, especially after he went to quarterback rehab out in San Francisco, right, and learned and fixed a lot of mechanical issues that he developed in New York that were never fixed in Carolina and that did get fixed, you know, out west. So now I'm looking at Sam Darnold as a rookie. Whomever comes in, you've got a blessing because you get to learn, and you have Kevin O'Connell as your head coach, who's a hell of a play caller and tells you what didn't work in a play. He fixes it for you during the game. You also have Aaron Jones now at running back. You got Justin Jefferson. You have a hell of an offensive line anchored by Christian Darrisaw at left tackle. A decent defense. Jordan Addison on the other side. And if you're Drake May and they move up to get you, you know who his high school coach was? Josh McCown, the quarterback coach in Minnesota. That's a hell of a fit for a rookie coming in.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. The Vikings are the better situation than Chicago.
Doesn't get much better.
To your point, it's not a bad situation. And listen, we didn't think that the Texans were the best situation. And look what happened there with CJ. And now we have high expectations for that team as we go into this next season. So it can all change very, very quickly. Coming up next, we will find out what is a big deal and what's not a big deal here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Covered a lot of ground on tonight's show on Amber and Ian. Amber and Ian is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. If you missed any of our excellent conversation, we did a lot of NFL draft talk. We are, of course, getting you ready for the NFL draft. Excellent conversation, if I do say so myself.
Self-proclaimed.
The NFL draft is on Thursday and Friday. You'll hear all the coverage right here on ESPN Radio. Ian Fitzsimmons will be on that coverage starting at 7 p.m. Eastern next Thursday and Friday. So we are 1 week away officially from the NFL draft. Of course, we're also in the midst of the play-in tournament in the NBA. We've been doing a lot of that today as well. We had Herm Edwards join us. We had Andre Snellings join us. We had Alan Hahn join us. If you missed anything here on Amber and Ian, check out the podcast on the ESPN app. We've got a lot of NBA action. The official first round of the postseason starts on Saturday. But there's four teams still trying to make a postseason, Ian, and they got tomorrow night to do it. And if they don't get it done tomorrow night, then they're not going to get it done at all. Now, these are shorthanded teams. You've got the Bulls taking on the Heat tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern. The Heat will officially be without Jimmy Butler and also without Terry Rozier as well. Jimmy Butler reportedly has a sprained MCL. The team has not officially released his diagnosis from his MRI today, he's expected to be out weeks, but frankly, he's out tomorrow night. We know that officially. Kings and Pelicans will tip off at 9:30 p.m. Eastern tomorrow as well. You'll hear that action right here on ESPN Radio and, of course, on the ESPN app. But what do we have to do? It's Amber and Ian. We've got to find out what's a big deal and what's not a big deal. Let's get to it.
It's making headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
But is it a big deal or not a big deal with Amber and Ian?
And our producer, James Steele. Hello, James.
Hello. So in the wake of 14 Colorado players entering the transfer portal this week, Buffalo's coach Deion Sanders downplayed the notion that their departures will have a significant impact on the team. Quote, "We're good. I trust the recruiting team. I trust our coaches, and please have some faith in me," Sanders said. "We're good. We're all right. We're all right." Ian, big deal, not a big deal, this mass exodus from Colorado and the Deion Sanders program.
It was a big deal when he brought in basically an entire new team through the transfer portal. So, yes, it is a big deal when 14 players in this post – they've had their spring game, if I'm not mistaken. It was like $20,000 a plate to have a seat at Deion's table. You know, I mean, this was, what, last week? And then to be next to him was like $11,000. At the table, you know, like right away from them. I mean, Colorado is bringing in a ton of NIL money. So to have 14 players all of a sudden hit the portal and leave Colorado with all the NIL money they're bringing into their collective, hell yeah, it's a big deal. If it was a big deal, he brought in an entire new roster. It's also a big deal that he brought in damn near a half of a football team as far as the starting lineup goes. Only 22 on the field and 14 left. Yeah, it's a big deal.
I don't think that this is a big deal, and here's why. Because this is 14 players entering the transfer portal, except for last year, Colorado saw at least 39 players who announced they were leaving last spring. So the numbers are getting better. There's only one way to go from 39.
Hold on, Amber. Was Deion the head coach when that portal hit?
My point is, Deion's presence is clearly cutting these those numbers down significantly
in.
By more than half. So there you go. He's doing quite well. He brought in 47 scholarship transfer players last year to his team. The transfer portal is quite literally the story of Colorado.
It's a revolving door,
Colorado. So 14
of them
trying to take advantage of it. Yeah, it's just a revolving door. 14 of them taking advantage of it. With this coach at this program, I don't think it's a very big deal. It's just how they do business over there in Boulder.
All right.
Would you pay $20,000 to sit have a dinner at the same table as Deion? Rubber chicken circuit.
$20,000? No.
That's what it was.
$20,000 to have dinner with anybody.
$20,000 to sit at his table.
I'm a fourth round Wilson, I'll have you know. He can pay $20,000 to sit at the table with Amber Wilson. If you missed our Wilson draft earlier in the show, you can check out the podcast, because otherwise you're probably really confused right now.
We'll have it up on Twitter here soon, too. A.J. Brown, Eagles wide receiver, apparently today, not too long ago, changed his profile picture on Instagram to Tom Brady. And follow Jacoby Brissett and KJ Osborne also on Instagram. AJ Brown seems like he's never very all that happy, no matter what's happening. Don't know what this means, but Tom Brady, Patriots legend, Jacoby Brissett plays for the Patriots again. KJ Osborne signed with the Patriots this offseason. Amber, big deal, not a big deal that AJ Brown, I don't know. I don't know what this is, but maybe alluding that he wants to go to the Patriots. Does he want to go to the Patriots?
Does he want to be a Patriot? Does he want to be a Buck? What does A.J. Brown want? Neither of those things make sense if those are the things he wants. So I can't imagine it's those, particularly the Patriots angle. I don't get it. A.J. Brown did post on Instagram, I think this is. TB12 is my favorite player ever. I watched the Dynasty and it brought back some memories from my childhood. Go look up what he did in 2015 when he was doubted and disrespected. By the way, does this mean A.J. Brown was a child in 2015? Because
yes.
Now I'm disturbed. Oh, my Lord.
A.J. Brown hasn't been in the league very long.
Oh, my Lord.
He was at Ole Miss like 5 years ago.
Oh, my goodness, we're talking about in my childhood and we're going back to Brady 2015. That's what we're doing?
9 years ago.
That portion of things is a big deal. The rest of this is not a big deal because I tend to believe him. A.J. Brown is clearly a very young player, so he did quite literally grow up watching Tom Brady as the greatest player that he ever saw play football. So I don't actually think it's that insane if he then tried to give the GOAT some respect when the GOAT's retired and not coming back. So this is not a very big deal, Ian.
Do you know that there are players that are going to be drafted that were barely conceived when Tom Brady started playing football?
Well, that I believe, but not 2015.
Well, I mean, let that sink in. This dude's talking about maybe playing again. And, I mean, it weren't even a thought in their mama's mind.
I mean, when did Tom Brady get drafted?
What, 2000? No, 1999? 2000?
Yeah, 2000.
Yeah.
2000.
Pick 199.
So, yes, right there's a whole lot of players in the league, man. If he was drafted in 2000, I mean, that were not even a glimmer of hope in their parents' eyes when they
this whole scrubbing of social media ain't not a big deal to me at all. It's this teenage love.
He didn't scrub his social media, though. He just put up a picture of old Tom.
Yeah,
and then did some
not,
other confusing
not a, not
stuff.
Not a big deal.
Why would he want to go to the Patriots?
His explanation for the Tom Brady thing is fine, but – like, why go out and follow Jacoby Brissett and KJ Osborne then after?
Maybe they're friends. Well,
that
maybe they met at a camp.
Little,
maybe they vacationed and ran into each other.
They didn't know each other until today.
Or he's trolling us. Which I
met a guy today I'd never met.
At
Whole Paycheck. Nice guy. His name was Mark. There you go.
No, if I was one of these players, if I was a high-profile player in any of these leagues, I would just mess with people. I would just, because people watch who you follow and who you unfollow like a hawk. And I would just like, just start randomly.
I'm right there with you.
You know?
100%.
Like you're bored
100%.
On a Thursday in the off season. You ain't got nothing. You know, the wife and kids are busy, whatever the case. You're sitting at home and just hit the follow button on somebody random in your league.
Love it.
And watch
Amber
and Ian have to discuss.
1 million in step with you. I would be toying with people nonstop and propping my boots up, laughing at the reaction.
Yeah.
The biggest upset of all this is how much Ian loves this. Old man Ian loves the Twitter and IG trolling.
Yeah, that is true. That is funny. I'm not on IG.
It's the biggest upset.
He's not active.
Let's try to do one more here real quick. The NHL is officially moving the team, now formerly known as the Arizona Coyotes, to Utah to begin play as a new franchise next season. The league announced Thursday. Ryan and Ashley Smith of Smith Entertainment Group bought the team and its existing hockey assets for $1.2 billion. Sources told ESPN. Ian Pinto, not a big deal that we're getting hockey in Utah.
Yeah, all right. Let's go positive first. I'm a positive person. It's a massive deal for anybody who lives along the Wasatch Front. I lived there for 2 years. I love going back and seeing old friends, and that is a sports hotbed. And there's only one pro franchise there, and that's obviously the Jazz. But Utah Utes fans are obsessed. BYU fans are obsessed. And they will support this franchise to the nth degree. Now, having said that, to all Arizona Coyotes fans, I feel for you. It sucks. I mean, it hurts. It cuts deep. And there are a lot of jobs that are going to be lost there. And so everybody in Arizona, I mean, it is a bigger deal than Utah getting a team because a fan base lost a team.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, this is a massive deal. It sucks. A lot of the fault of this lies on actually the former ownership, probably, for taking this ice rink out to Glendale, which was not successful, did not go well. And then they end up in a temporary facility in Tempe there for the last couple of years, and it ends up leading to this. I do understand that. I believe the NHL has mandated that Arizona work on getting a new team at some point here as well, so I think hockey will end up back in Arizona. But that franchise was a disaster for many 27 seasons. It was a mess with bankruptcies and defaults on loans and all sorts of stuff for a very long time. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, we'll continue on it's going to be a mystery what we're talking about. You're not going to want to miss it. It's like the best segment we have ever done. Next on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Maxie finds an opening, puts it up, bounces around, and in. And he was running out of time. The kick ahead to Jimmy. He's wide open. Pump fake. There goes Oubre. Up, he got the foul, did not get the bucket. Jimmy grabbing on to his right knee as he went crashing to the floor.
Oh, no.
I mean, that's why you wear knee pads, but I don't know if he had any.
No.
Any brace going down.
It was ugly last night. Jimmy Butler. When he went down, he landed wrong on that knee. He ends up with what seems like an MCL sprain there in that right leg. And the team isn't saying officially what the actual results of the MRI were in terms of how long he'll be out. But they are saying that he's ruled out against the Chicago Bulls with an MCL sprain. And if that's the case, then we're looking at weeks, not a day, for him to get back on the court. And it feels really ominous as a Miami Heat fan. And it's been a Heat team that has been plagued with injuries all season long. And then here we are in a play-in scenario. And boy, did playoff Jimmy show up before that injury. And you thought, okay, it is go time. This Heat team has been doing what they always do and just hustling us and just loves to find themselves at the back of the standings for the playoffs. And they're going to turn it up like they did last season. And then Jimmy goes down with that injury. And it felt like all hope was lost. He stayed in the game, which was pretty remarkable. He still ended up putting up 19 points, 5 assists, 5 steals. He had 5 of 18 shooting. He had steals after the injury. Like, he was still out there trying to do what he could, even though he was very obviously laboring and he was limping at points. And he was limping when he left the arena, and his post-game comments were no bueno. I mean, he was talking about how much it hurt and how it did not feel right. So him being out there and him lasting through that whole game, because that injury happened in the first quarter, was pretty remarkable of him. But now they're not going to have him moving forward. And as a Heat fan, there's only so good you can feel about it. Now, Jimmy still has his sense of humor on Twitter, or on Instagram, rather. The Miami Heat had put out an injury update, and it said Jimmy Butler, right MCL sprain, has been ruled out of Friday night's play-in game versus the Bulls. And that was a description under a picture of Jimmy Butler. And then Jimmy Butler himself, from his own Instagram account, commented on that picture, and he tagged Kelly Oubre, and he wrote, at Kelly Oubre Jr., we are throwing hands. Which is funny. That's awesome, because it's Kelly Oubre Jr. who ends up colliding with Jimmy on that play. He gets the foul on that play, and now Jimmy Butler has an MCL sprain that's probably going to cost the Miami Heat a postseason. So Jimmy certainly still has his sense of humor. I'm not really sure that that is going to make Heat fans feel any better. The Heat do have an opportunity here against the Chicago Bulls. And it's not that I think that the Bulls are insurmountable without Jimmy Butler. It's not going to be an easy task, obviously. That Bulls team was certainly prepared for the Atlanta Hawks, and I believe in Billy Donovan. I'm a little bit biased as a Gator, nevertheless. It's been a good Bulls team, or certainly looked like a good Bulls team against that Hawks team. But with them playing in Miami, with the Heat having the best player on the court in Bam, because even without Jimmy, the Heat still have the best player on the floor at any given time, it is certainly possible. The problem for the Heat is that they're not just missing Jimmy Butler, they're also missing Terry Rozier. So that's two of their most prolific scorers that they are missing when they're going to need offense. So they're certainly going to need some of their other shooters to step up with those efforts. Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. It's just my voice right now because Ian had to go take care of some business, which means I'm in control, which is why I just opened this segment talking about the Miami Heat for minutes on end. You're
shocker.
Welcome, James Steele.
It's a shocker. Yeah,
this is what happens when you leave me in control of the microphone.
I say, Amber, what do you want to talk about? And to my surprise, it's the Heat.
Well, it's in fairness to me, I'm getting people ready for tomorrow night. The action that they can hear right here on ESPN Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern. So I'm doing my job. We're getting people ready. There will be no Amber and Ian tomorrow night. There will, in fact, just be Bulls Heat tomorrow night. And then the later game there as well with the Pelicans and the Kings and the Pels missing Zion. I mean, what a bummer for the NBA that you're so successful with this play-in tournament. The numbers are always monster numbers. This Sixers-Heat matchup, it's ridiculous that the NBA got that in a play-in scenario. Like, it's completely absurd. Neither of those teams are play-in teams. The Heat, I think that they just choose to be. I mean, they just really take their foot off the gas pedal all regular season, and we know Jimmy tends to do that as well. And with the 76ers, obviously, it was because of Joel Embiid's injury there where he missed months because of that injury. And so both of these teams that are much better than where they are in the standings end up in a play-in one-game scenario, and it lived up to all the hype. I mean, even after the Jimmy injury, boy, did it live up to the hype, and the Heat end up losing by just 1 point. But now, in the next round here of the play-in games, it is such a bummer for the NBA to not have Zion on one side and not have Jimmy Butler on the other side. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that the Pelicans can't also win against the Kings, because Ingram's going to get more looks without Zion Williamson. It's a scenario that the Pelicans have certainly been through before, the absence of Zion Williamson. So we'll see if they can stay afloat as well. Since I am in control here on Amber and Ian, it's not just the Miami Heat that I want to mention. I also want to mention real quick about that Virginia NIL law that got passed, because, James, I'm in control, so I can go full nerd lawyer, and Ian can't stop me. He ain't here.
Miami
That's
sports and lawyer stuff.
And
That's
lawyer
where
stuff.
We're going.
That's what happens when I'm in control.
Best segment
Somebody
ever.
Somebody tweeted me. We talked about the Virginia legislature. They passed a law that schools in Virginia will be able to compensate student athletes for NIL directly, something that they're not able to do anywhere else in the country. Something that is directly a violation of NCAA rules. So we'll see what happens if the NCAA tries to fine these schools for doing so in Virginia, even though Virginia has now tried to essentially outlaw the NCAA from doing that. There will be lawsuits. There will be lawsuits about how this is going to work. We don't know about Title IX implications. That's probably going to be handled through legislation as well. We don't know where these funds exactly within the universities are going to be coming from, and we certainly don't know how they're going to be allocated. There's no comment in terms of budgets. But what we do know is in the state of Virginia, thanks to that legislature, that schools in Virginia, universities in Virginia, will be able to directly now get involved in NIL and directly, if they want, compensate student athletes for name, image, and likeness, something that right now is the full responsibility of boosters, basically, and local businesses and businesses around the country, but mainly boosters, because what's happened in the world of NIL with no uniformity and no regulation is it's a whole bunch of booster collectives where boosters just pool their money together into a fund, quite literally. They just put millions of dollars, these rich boosters, into a fund, and then they just pay players. And this is going to allow the universities to get some of that power back in Virginia. That's the goal there. The universities have been working closely with the government in Virginia to write this legislation. And I think they're trying to get some of that power back from the boosters, from these outside forces right now that are running everything when it comes to college athletics, and particularly when it comes to college football. And I think the athletic departments themselves are trying to find ways to get some of that power back so that then the university is a little bit more in control. We'll see if it works. This is the first state to do this. There's six other states that have similar legislation on the books pending, but none of it's actually been passed yet. So Virginia's trying to blaze a path with this thing and hope that other states end up following suit and that maybe Congress ends up getting involved What is all that nerdy law talk that I just did mean? It means that the landscape of college football is changing even further, and it is certainly a work in progress.